please be seated for just a moment. You know, we sang four songs, and it was hiding for the cross, hiding in the cross. It was the first two were anchored. Anchor your soul. Listen, folks, in this day and age, we need to anchor something. And that verse came out of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. See, your soul is going to do something someday. Your body will die. Your soul goes somewhere. But we have a hope. We have an anchor of the soul, which both sure and steadfast, which endureth into within the veil. And God broke that veil when he died upon the cross. Exciting songs. And then the last one was Underneath the Cross, or something like that. But I would have wrote them down, but I wasn't that smart. Underneath the Cross, something like that. Listen, folks, in this day and age, you need to stay close to the cross. Because, you know, I've often said from preaching, if we knew exactly, but wait, Jesus says he'll come as a thief in the night. If we knew when he was coming, today is what, the 3rd? If we knew he's coming on the 5th, we would have a massive garage sale. We'd give it all to Goodwill. We'd get rid of that junk in our house. And you say, well, preacher, I got nothing in my house. Well, fine. But we would clean up our act a whole bunch. We wouldn't worry so much about washing our cars and taking care of all the peripheral things. We'd worry about the things, like we said in Sunday school, 1 John 1:9. But we do not know when he's coming back. He's going to come as a thief in the night, and we just need to be ready. I've often thought, you know, because we were, by the way, today is the National Day of Prayer. President Trump wanted for the, remember those folks down in Houston there. I remember when we were in, because I went to college with your pastor and his wife and all that, and the kids, and they had a hurricane coming through Jacksonville, and we had a certain amount of time. Well, if you look at the panhandle there where it comes down, it comes in, it veers off. So we had a Plymouth Reliant, great car, K car, and we were trying to figure out how to get four kids, a dog, our computer, a terminal was as big as the pulpit here, and all these things, trying to figure out what to take. But listen, those folks down in Houston didn't have time to take. They just had to go. And listen, they hopefully they've got their trust, and hopefully God, hopefully the people will turn themselves over to what God has for them. Well, I'm excited to be here, and you know, I was thinking everything we get to do is because of God's grace. We don't get to do it because we think we're entitled to do something. We do it because of God's grace. And because of the grace of God, I'm not going to turn your pastor in. You know, I'm a plumber by trade. That toilet's not the correct toilet for that bathroom. The handle should be on the other side, but I'm not going to turn him in, okay? We'll let it slide this time, and I think that will be good. Be turning in your Bibles. We'll be there in just a moment in John chapter 6. I think it's funny, you know, Lisa is so funny. When we met about a month ago down at the Side Door Cafe, and the waitress came, and of course they rode over on their motorcycles, and she said, and the waitress walked up, and she goes something to the effect, we rode over from Corvallis. And the waitress goes, I am so impressed, because the waitress thought they rode on bicycles. It's a long way from over the Slits Highway and all that. And Lisa goes, oh, don't worry, we're not impressive at all. So that was just a Lisa thing, but it was so cool meeting them again and going over. And it's exciting that they're over in Australia. And I pray it works out well for Becca and her husband, Matt, and, you know, he's just flying. And, you know, listen, let me say something. If you can have your kids at a young age serve Christ on the mission field. Now, Oregon or the United States is a mission field. But listen, I've been on 5 trips and other things in the future. But people over there want the gospel. You know, you go door knocking here, you're, and a lot of times, you know, we had a lady a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I'm too busy. Well, what are you too busy for? Had one, you know, anyway, you know how that goes. But in the foreign countries, when we'd hand out tracts, we'd have people say, can I have one? And they would take them. And, of course, you have lots of people in church. And listen, to the glory of God, what Pastor and Mrs. Crawford are doing, and listen, through the ability of what God, you all being here today, it's a testimony to his 20-plus years being here, too, or something like that. Anyway, we're going to be looking at the feeding of the 5,000. And you've all heard this. I'm not going to preach anything new to you. I might bring something new to you, to your remembrance, but I'm going to have you stand if you can. There's only 14 verses in my sermon. If you cannot stand, please don't worry about it. I'm not going to pick on you. My wife I will pick on, but no, I won't pick on anybody. And And you were saying, and listen, I don't want you to be jealous now. You said it's going to be triple digit here. We're driving back to the coast tonight. Yeah, I know. As we get over the hill closer on 20, we'll be turning the air conditioning hotter and hotter just so we can be with you folks. We'll probably let our car get 110 degrees inside just so it, no, we won't be doing that. We'll eventually have the windows open on the way home tonight. John chapter 6, follow along in your KJV Bibles as I read 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And let me just say, they weren't there to be cured of anything. They wanted something for free. They saw the miracles they did. They're thinking, I could be touched by that, or maybe they'll give us something, just like today. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with the disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said, And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Obviously, he's God. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples of them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragment of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above that which they had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet should come into the world. When Jesus, therefore, that's as far as I want to go. Father, we ask you to bless us this evening or this morning. And Father God, I pray you'll steal my heart. They don't need to hear plumbing stories. They need to hear preaching stories. And Father, I pray you'll bless our services. Thank you for a nation that we can meet in a free country. Father, not like some of the communist countries, but Father, the time is coming where we may not have the liberty to preach and teach the word of God. We thank you for what you did earlier. We thank you for the classes. But Father God, we need to hear from you. We pray you'll bless Pastor Crawford and his wife as they're on the mission trip. Bring them safety as they come back. I believe it's on Tuesday or Wednesday. And Father God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All righty. Well, there's a lot of things. I've only got like 4 pages. Our pastor always says he's got like 18 pages. He kind of does. But anyway, each miracle in the life of the ministry of Jesus Christ is unique in its own right. The feeding of the 5,000 parallels the ministry of Jesus with the ministry of Moses. Moses said about himself that a Messiah and a greater prophet would arise after him. That's Deuteronomy 18:15. Like Moses, Jesus fed the people in a desert place. Mark 6:31. Like Moses, Jesus provided bread, although he had bread that equaled the manna. He also had the living bread. Of course, we know that Moses' bread was only given to him through the power of what God would allow him to do. And I think it's interesting that Moses, you know, at the latter end, he was supposed to go and speak to the rock, and he got so mad because of the children of Israel, because they complained all the time, excuse me, that he struck the rock and yet the water. And I said this in church, and God showed his compassion, and that even though Moses screwed up, not a biblical term, but he screwed up, that God still had compassion to let the water flow so the people could have their water. But it's interesting to know that Moses lost it because just that one instance where he separated himself from what God could do. Listen, be careful what it is. Like Moses, there was organization among the people. They traveled the wilderness in tribes. Jesus had the people sit down in companies of 50s and hundreds. And you know, when you know, 5,000 men, think about it, 5,000 men with women probably and children. You know, when you get a big group of people, there's chaos. I mean, if you've seen anything on television, of course, normally they're showing political things and rallies and it turns crazy. But, you know, Jesus had them that, listen, Jesus wants things in order. You know, it's like when you go to Bible college, if you ask Pastor Crawford, you know, when you go to Bible college, they don't, a freshman, when you're the first one there, they don't say, Bob Crawford, would you teach this class? That would not be well. Or Glenn Gunderson, would you teach this class? Look, their things have to be done in order. Those people have gone to college. Hopefully they've gone to college. There's a little course that says, when little is much when God is in it. The course illustrates the truth of this miracle that we have. When we commit to the Lord, he's sufficient to bring our needs, to touch every need. When we were in Bible college the last year, I'll never forget this, and how God blesses. We had to move around a lot. One place we rented, the sewer system couldn't take it. We rented a duplex. The landlord said, well, too bad. I guess you're just not going to get to flush the toilets very much. Anyway, so we moved, and we went to this mobile home park out on Normandy. The Crawfords would know where that is. And we went in there thinking, well, this looks like a nice place to move to. There are a lot of manufactured homes down there in Jacksonville, Florida. And we went into this place, and they said, oh, I'm sorry, but this is a unit that you have to buy your mobile homes. And we said what we're doing. They said, but we don't have any for rent, but we do have the manager's unit. So, listen, God will meet your needs, amen? And so we rented that place. Number one, why? Every believer must commit their all to Jesus Christ. One, because God's program is unfinished. Look at verse 5. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company coming unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? See, it did not come. Jesus didn't say, what am I going to do? He knew what he was going to do because it was all foretold. He had everything in motion set to go, just like you folks, just like us. Look at God has everything set up. I often think that I'm going to retire in a couple of years. Maybe. We'll see. No, I plan to. And I thought, well, you know, I'd like to buy another car before I retire. So I was thinking, well, what kind of car do I want? First, I wanted, my prerequisite was that it had to be big enough to fit my grandkids, but then there aren't, I don't really want to drive a station wagon. We already drive a Mazda wagon. It's pretty cool. I like it. And then I think, well, I'd buy myself another truck. I've got a truck I use for the plumbing company. It's a Silverado. It's very nice. And I'm thinking, well, my cars are getting old and all these things. You know, I got, well, 110,000 miles. That's not very many on the car or on a truck. Then I think, well, Lord, I probably need this, but, you know, God is not impacted to me that I need anything yet, and God will allow me to have some. I always think when we go on these road trips, we have a car that they made for, I think, 3 years, a Mazda sport wagon, and they just didn't make it anymore. They made it. It was great, and they just don't make it anymore. They make parts for it, we have found, and we've had a few issues. But I always pray, Lord, I pray you'll hold our car together. And, you know, he keeps holding it together, and you know what? He provides every need we have. He already knows down the road if we're going to need something. He knows down the road what you are going to need. He knows down the road what my grandkids need. He understands everything we need in life. See, his program's not unfinished. And he says, Philip, what are we going to do? And verse 5, it says, Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company come in, and he saith unto Philip, and listen, I find it exciting, when he says unto Philip, I'm getting way off my notes, but that's okay, when he said unto Philip, listen, he was willing to use Philip. When he says, Glenn, what are we going to do? Well, look, when I went on my first mission trip, I prayed about it. I knew I needed to go. It was to the Philippines, pretty safe place, well, very, very safe place if God's there, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it 30 days. And I said, Lord, if the fleece is wet, I'll go. Well, the fleece was wet. I said, Lord, if the fleece is dry, I'll go. The fleece was dry. I talked to my wife before that, and I said, I'll never forget this. I scared her. I said, honey, I got to talk to you about something seriously. She thought there was something really wrong, and no, it wasn't. And so when I finally sent an email off to BIMI, Baptist International Missions Incorporated, they said, you just about missed it. We're getting our tickets tomorrow. I got my ticket, and we're on the way. Listen, God's program is unfinished. God knew that I needed to go over there, and really, it was probably one of the greatest. I've gone on five places around the world. It was probably the one of the greatest, although when I went to Belize and helped build a church out in the jungles, for the Spanish ministry, it was probably one of the greatest. Listen, they're all great when you can do things for God. When I was in the Philippines, I don't want to take a lot of time, but we got over there like on a Friday and on Saturday. Now, listen, I'd never been anywhere. Whenever I traveled, I always went with my wife. You know, it was easy to go through the airports because I got my wife. She's my rock, and and so I get over to the Philippines, and I meet the people up. We meet in Tokyo. We fly over there. It's like we've known each other for years because of the fellowship, like we had in 1 John. Anyway, on Saturday, they said, okay, on Sunday, we are going to farm all you preacher boys out. And I'm thinking, no, I want to stay here with Brother Pohas. And by the way, he's been back to America twice. I think we're going to take him on for support. He's a national pastor. And anyway, I'm thinking, well, Lord, I really want to stay here. I was just scared. I really want to hear Pastor Pohas. I didn't know Pastor Pohas from some of you folks, but I really want to stay here. And so they said, no, everybody's going out. And so this gentleman picked me up on Sunday morning. Of course, whenever I go anywhere, I always take my sermons. Although I went, a couple of years ago, we went to Montana to visit the kids. Went to their church, and the pastor, I talked to him a little bit, and he goes, we talked to him after lunch, and he goes, or right before church ended, he goes, I want to talk at church, he goes, I want to talk to you. I haven't done anything. I'm just here. And so he goes up. We talked a little bit, and he wanted to know where I stood on the KJV Bible and such. And so they're KJV Church, obviously. And he said, I want you to preach tonight. Well, I didn't think I'm going to preach. I'm on vacation. I took no sermons with me. Had to go back to the website. I was interim at a church and went on the website. I got my notes. But in the Philippines, they said, you're all going to go out and preach. And so I had my sermons with me. This guy picks me up in the morning, and he's driving like, you know, if you've ever been to the Philippines, a lot of the cars are older. They're beat up. And so we're driving like what we'd consider like the Banfield Freeway or 205, I guess. Not the Banfield, 205. And we're driving like 65 miles an hour. And the pastor's in the back seat, the driver, and myself. And the pastor says, we're going to ask you Sunday school questions, things like that. And we're talking back and forth. And I noticed, finally the pastor told him, you know, you might slow down a little bit. It was like an hour away. I don't know where it was. It was just somewhere out there in the Philippines. And it was a great day, and it was a fantastic time. But I noticed that... God takes all your need, and God will feed the 5,000. God will take care of you. When we're in the afternoon, we had the same thing, where we preached in the morning, and then we had lunch, and we went to a mall, or actually went to a KFC. 5,000 square foot KFC. It was unbelievable. We had a waiting line to get into this place. And we went to a mall, so I could pick myself out a present. It was crazy. I went back, had a little nap, and we preached. But anyway, I noticed when we came back, they had a room for me across the road there. I noticed the driver had the hood of the car open, and he's messing around. I'm not paying any attention to it. So we're driving back that night in the dark. We're doing like 65 again, and the wipers aren't working. It's raining, and he was working on the wipers, and so he slowed down. But God took care of us and met all the needs. But when I got done, the pastor said I was the first non-Filipino pastor to preach in his church. It was quite an honor. But see, God's program is not unfinished. He said in verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great... Obviously, look at God. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He indwells within us, the Holy Spirit. And listen, God works through us, and he allows us to do things for him. If God wanted to, he could have just said, you ever watch those Star Trek shows, the Enterprise, they have the replicators where they go over there and they want Earl Grey hot tea, and they get something. Or they go to the holodeck and they make it like this, and the holodeck, if God wanted to, he could have 5,000 people fed. I mean, they could have fed them a KFC meal with all the chicken and all the grits down south and all the stuff. He could have just gave them everything he wanted. But listen, God wants to use individuals. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Does he need us? No. But he wants to use us, maybe on the workplace, maybe witnessing, maybe to our family, our friends, maybe on a missions trip. Listen, it's a good thing to go on a missions trip. I'm excited that maybe the cooks will be over there. I'm hoping it doesn't take a long to get there, because hopefully they'll be there by next year, but maybe not. We got a trip maybe planned to Papua New Guinea next year for the Russell family, and we have to make a stopover in Australia. I wouldn't mind stopping and seeing things like that. But anyway, that's probably ahead of myself a little bit. For Philip, look at verse 7. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. That is 7 month wages for the average man in the Bible time. He goes, Lord, how are we going to do this? What are you asking me for? I'm not God. Well, Philip, what are we going to do here like this? See, God's program is unfinished. Jesus saw the multitudes as his ministry. As long as a group of people had unmet needs, he had unfinished business with God's will for the ministry. God's program is to get the bread of life to the entire world. Not just Corvallis, not just Newport and Lincoln City where we live, but the entire world. You know, everybody what I've gone to on these mission trips, they're great. But listen, they need the word of God. It's interesting, when I've gone to Manila, and then we went to Samarin Island, and then I went to Puerto Rico, you know, everybody spoke Spanish. We went to the Home Depot there. They actually built a church. It was a beautiful church, massive church, three-story building, but they didn't put any plumbing or electrical into the building when they plumbed it. I guess it was easier and cheaper not to actually string this stuff through the walls, so that's what we did. But everything was Spanish, and it was exciting. Ethiopia there, out in the middle of Nowheresville, believe me. You know, how many people been to Ethiopia? Anybody been to Ethiopia? Nobody ever goes there. I know. Anyway, you can. And then Belize, and that was good, an interpreter down there. But listen, God's program is to get the bread of life, the word of God, to everybody. Think about where you were when you know, your circumstances that God allowed to put together. You know, when my wife grew up, she grew up in Portland. If you're familiar with Portland, we got the east side and the west side. We grew up on the east side. We were the east siders. You were the west siders. We never saw each other. You know, we didn't need to go on the west side because we had stores and everything on the east side. We didn't need to go on the west side. You know, maybe we went to Montgomery Ward or something, but they were the tigered people. But, you know, we met at college. God brought it together. We met at college, fell in love, blah, 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 the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story. But listen, God worked it out for that reason alone. Had God, and it's funny because after I graduated from high school, had a couple of friends I was with, and I said, well, let's go to Manhood Community College. I don't know what I want to do. I took automotive. Now, believe, don't let me have your car, okay? I'll take it, but you don't want me. I took a transmission class, and apparently they have ball bearings. This is back in the 70s, late 70s, I ended up with extra ball bearings when I put mine back. So I don't really want to work on your car, okay? And so, but my friend that we were buddies just hanging out, he did not show up the morning we were going to go to class, to registration and such. And so my mom said, well, go. Now, they weren't saved. I wasn't saved. They said, just go. It has nothing to really do with salvation other than God was working behind the scenes, is what I'm saying. God's program to get the message so that I could go to the Philippines years down the road to give the gospel out. And so I went to him, and I couldn't figure out what happened to Jim. He just never showed up. Well, about 5 days later, I don't know what period of time it was, I found out that Jim and Bruce, the other friend that I didn't really care for, they decided to go steal a car, and they ended up being in jail, and that was his life history going that way. My life was to go to college, meet my wife, so I could go into the ministry later and do things. And listen, God's program is not a physical bread or the bread that perish, but it's spiritual bread. Look at, that's why we sang the songs this morning. You guys picked out great songs, you and the pianist and such. Listen, we need to have an anchor in this day and age. We need something. Look at, there. Don't take this wrong. You could die going home today. I could die going home today. Highways 20 is crazy. I mean, there's just crazy stuff everywhere. Somebody dies I believe it's every second and a half or 2 seconds, somebody walks off the face of the earth. Some go to heaven, some go to hell. Look at, the bread of life is to get the word of God out. God's program is the most worthwhile business in the world. He's given the responsibility to the disciples to get the bread of life out. That's why I like to go on mission trips, to get the bread out. I've got an opportunity now to go to, we've got a missionary we support, well, a lot of them, just like you guys do, and they need help in Moscow. I'm trying to get my wife to go to Moscow. I've never been to Moscow. It's just like Oregon, or Washington, actually, probably just like Washington, D.C., but... comrade. No, I don't want to say that, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see. The Great Commission is not an option. It's a command from God to the church, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to feed the world with the bread of life. The disciples realized that this request was too great for them when he said 200 penny worth of bread. You know, I could see Philip going, you know, if it were me, I'd say, you're kidding. How am I going to do this? 5,000 people. I mean, you parents, you feed your kids. I mean, you go to the store. We go to Safeway. It's nothing to spend. We used to get, you know, it's nothing to spend $90. Yeah. Amen. I get gas that way. For the truck. You know, it's nothing to go and blow money. I know grandkids come over and they eat and they eat and they eat. I love them and they eat and they eat Amen. I love grandkids. They're great. Somebody said, you know, they're great things. They come. They play. And they go home. And sometimes they go home, but sometimes they want to ride with us and stay with us. The application. Getting the gospel to the entire world is beyond our capacity of any one person. It's a task that requires divine intervention. Look at verse 6. And he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Because God's perspective is unusual. You know, think about it. You get to go door to door. I don't have a track. I mean, there might be a track here. You go door to door, and you hand somebody a gospel track. It's a very unusual thing. It's kind of difficult sometimes. We had a guy. It wasn't too. It was about a month ago, I guess. This guy. Remember, the guy was. I think we had Evan with us. But the guy is cutting yards, and he's got a riding lawnmower. And every time we get close to him, he would do an abrupt thing, and he'd go this other way. But I realized what house he came from. You could kind of tell, and I accidentally dropped my track into his house. The window was open on the door, and it fell in there. But he wanted nothing to do with us. But still, our responsibility is to give out the gospel when you can and give out the tracks. When I was in the Philippines, Brother Pohas took me to, now you got to remember, on most streets, he said on most of these streets, they're like three stories, and they got little buildings. They might have a little bicycle repair shop, and then there's a store, and then there's this and that. He said, on these two streets, there's probably as many people that live in our city of 7,000 people. There's just people everywhere. Anyway, he took me to this one building, We're walking down there, and I don't remember how far it was from the church that he had. And we were over on a medical missions where we had construction, and then they had medical too. And he took me in there, and I sat down on a coffee bag, you know, great big coffee bags, and I had my New Testament. I didn't have anything with me, and he said this, okay, now preach. And people were coming in, and they're shoving their heads through the window, and people got saved. What I'm saying, it's not me. It's the gospel of, you know, and God just gives you the words to say when you need to say it. It's not like, well, I got to study. Well, you can read the word of God. And you know what? God will allow you to draw on the things you do. I always take so many notes. I mean, I've got notes in my Bible. When I die, this is the one to use, Miss G. I got sermons in here. I got stuff taped in the back. I write extra things. I got things. I go back and look at them later. I go, what did I write? I think I'm writing Egyptian or something like this. I don't know. But it's unusual. He said it to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already had a plan to feed the multitudes. He was just trying to get the disciples to see the work and the possibilities like he did. Jesus saw differently, but he wants to equip us to see what he teaches his disciples. And you know, it's interesting, the disciples are sitting there, and Jesus came apart into a quiet place. Now you think about it. You're on a mountainside. Jesus is up here. He's got his 12 disciples with him. And they just don't get it. They don't understand it. Now he's with them. They see him. I'm kind of a visual learner. I can read the books, but it's like I put in plumbing before, a lot of plumbing over 40 years. But I can see. I can walk into a house and I can say, oh no, that won't work. But we can do it this way. I visually can see it. Jesus, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. Don't get that wrong. But Jesus could see what they needed to do. But the disciples were with him the whole time, and they're like, well, Jesus, we've seen other miracles, but I don't remember any of that stuff. So how are we going to do this? And Philip says, you know, if we work 7 months, saved all our money, which is impossible, this is not going to be enough money to buy bread for all these people. He saw the opportunity from a perspective of omnipotent. He knew he possessed the power to perform the miracle needed to feed the multitude. Philip saw that 200 was not sufficient. Andrew said, hey, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves, and he's got a couple of small fish. So, and I was thinking, I was laying in bed last night, nice motel bed, but I was thinking, you know, I can't remember the restaurant, but we've gone to restaurants, and they will give you slices of bread sometimes. And I remember there used to be a restaurant we'd go to, and I think it's called a demi loaf, I'm not sure. It's like a butter, it's like a size of a butter keeper. It's a little loaf of bread. And so in my mind, and by the way, the barley loaves represented that it's the lowest form of food. Now, if you like barley, that's good. But, you know, if you were the poor people, you had the barley loaves. And I'm thinking it's not like when you go to a bakery, oh, let's get this massive loaf of bread. I'm thinking little loaves of bread because I'm thinking the lad. I'm thinking like Levi's age. How old is Levi? 8, 7, 7, 8. I don't know how old he is. I'm getting old. I just play old. And the 2 small fishes, there's a little kid here that's got these. And, you know, they're saying, but, you know, but look at verse 8. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter brother, said, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Lord, what can we do? We've got 2 little fish. Now, I'm not thinking rainbow trout. I'm thinking tilapia or something small. You know, I mean, Levi is a small child, just like the boys are back there, or your oldest boy is. And, you know, they couldn't carry, you know, like this and all these things. And first of all, he wouldn't have that. People were not rich at this time. And I've often thought, you know, that lad, I wrote in my Bible years ago, I wrote he's 9 years old, which I don't know. I'm not getting any inspiration from God to Levi's age. But that's you or me. Look, we're that lad. We're the ones that can do something for God. You say, well, I can't. I'm 55, I'm 60, I'm 12, I'm 8, I'm 100. No, look, and you can still do something. You can still be that lad. You don't have to have the you know, Philip, they're saying, God, this isn't going to work. What am I going to do with 5 cans of tuna fish and, you know, some bread left over from the bakery? Listen, you give it to God, and God just multiplies it. I know years ago, many years ago, before college, we were going to Greater Portland Baptist Church, Rick Adams, and I never really knew that. I knew I liked missions, but anyway, this gentleman came. I think he was going to Romania. I don't remember what it was. So I'm thinking this is probably back about 1988. We'd been saved a few years, and I don't know how old Sir goes, because obviously That's a long time ago. And I remember, now at that time, money, when you're a young couple, you don't have a lot of money. I had a $50 bill in my pocket. Now, I probably have a couple 50s now. Nowadays, don't take this wrong, a 50 doesn't mean that much anymore. A $1,000 bill, now that means a lot. If you either make those, if you got a lot of those, but a 50. And I remember the pastor preached about this missionary, and he needed this money, and I can't remember what it was even for, and something in my little mind said, you need to give that $50 bill. Now, when you're a young couple, and you got kids, and I can't remember how old the kids even were, I don't think they were babies, but no, they weren't, because they grew up in church. They're a little older, so or 8 or 10, whatever they were. You know, I gave that $50, just like that. Now, that's not to get a pat on my back, but I'm saying I was that lad, and you have been that lad before. You just give what you've got. Look, have I ever gone broke? No. I'm amazed over the... I'm a one-man plumbing company in Lincoln City. As we drove to Portland to pick up our daughter, she flew in. We're going to Seaside tomorrow. We're going on a week's vacation up there. It's going to be hot, but I remember driving up there. We often say, if I had to be, I grew up in Portland, if I had to be a plumber in Portland, and you drive from even, whatever that's called down there, well, I worked on McAdam Avenue, but if you drove from there, John's Landing, to Gresham area, it might take you an hour to get out there. I could not make any money. I go about as far as Depot Bay, and I'll go to Pacific City, if you know where that is on the beach. I don't go any further, and God blesses my company. It's not that somebody has to have an issue. A lot of people just want to change things. You know, and there are a lot of times that something breaks, and I have to fix it. But listen, it's God's perspective on what he will allow you to do if you just give yourself a little bit. Am I stingy? Oh, yeah, I want to take my own time sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to do what God wants me to do. But listen, if you do what God's way, confess it as sin, and go on with life. You see, Andrew had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, what are they amongst the many? See, we limit God by the way we see things and the way we try to figure things out. We need to stop trying to figure out and start trusting God's view of the work. You just need to do it that way. We gave $50. I don't remember who it was. I think it was somebody going to Romania. Number 3, because God's power is unlimited. John 6:9, it says, there's a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they amongst so many? Jesus was not hampered by the apparent lack of resources. He knew that whatever he could get from the lad would be enough. You see, his power in response to the information about the loaves and fishes in verse 10, it says, and Jesus said, now, you know, he's got five loaves and 2 small fishes. I mean, you could probably put them right about there. It's not much food. I mean, no offense, that's not enough food to feed us in here tonight. We're going to consume a lot more food, or unless you don't eat and I eat. And I saw the strawberries back there, and maybe I won't need any chicken. But anyway, and what does Jesus do? Jesus doesn't even flinch. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said, go to KFC and get more food. No, he didn't say this. My Bible says, no, it didn't say it. Jesus said, make the men sit down. He already knew what he would do. He already knew the blessing. And he didn't. Now, our preacher said a couple things on this last week, and even though I already knew what I was going to preach on, but he said Jesus didn't do this miracle for the 5,000. He did it for the disciples to show them his power of what he could do. Of course, they still blow it. At the crucifixion, they're like, where's everybody at? A couple people were still there. His perspective is unusual. Oh, it's unlimited. You see, his power is in response to information about the loaves. There were 3 prevailing thoughts about the command. First, he wanted there to be calmness. See, yelling and screaming, oh, we're hungry, what are we going to do? Nothing. It never gets done. When people are yelling and screaming, you can't make anything out. I've walked away from people that are yelling and screaming because, you know, look, I don't want to be yelling and screaming at such as that. Secondly, he wanted everyone to be able to see and to be served. He set them in 50s and 100. Now, if you set them in a group of 5,000, you can't see anything. And I don't know how he set them. You know, maybe, I don't know how he set them. Thirdly, he did all things should be done decently and in order. See, there's not chaos in God's word, folks. It's everything's decent and in order. And then look at verse 11. And Jesus, when he took the loaves and when he had given thanks, look at what did he do? He didn't say, okay, just eat it. No, I'm busy. He thanked his heavenly Father look at, you need to thank God for the food you have. You will say, I'm tired of eating the same food. The children of Israel, they got tired. Man, we are so tired of eating this bread-like substance. It tastes like an Oreo cookie, or it tastes like something, and it's called manna, but we are so tired. Man, if we only had some fish. That worked out really well, didn't it? Or quail, I mean birds. That worked out really good. God said, as they were chewing it, anyway. He blessed the food. He gave thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples of them that were set down, and likewise the fish as they would. I could only imagine that the fish multiplying. Think of that. In your mind, think about the bread. Okay, you cut the bread up and you do, and everybody got enough. And look at, and verse 12, and when they were filled. Now let me tell you, folks, I could eat. Now I can't eat all the strawberries, and I won't. But our grandson, Evan, he's like about 11, I guess. We don't really know their ages, do we? Allison's going to be 14. I know that. Okay, but Evan always says, on his birthdays, we always tell the kids, you can pick out whatever you want for your birthdays. And Evan and Levi, they always have hot dogs, mac and cheese, and blonde corn on the cob, whatever. And Evan goes, oh, I love hot dogs. I could eat like 6 hot dogs. You could eat 2. Loaves of bread, a good loaf of bread, a little loaf of bread. You could eat a loaf of bread, one person. But they're feeding 5,000 men plus the women and children. God has supplied the needs. And look at it. And when, verse 12, and when they were filled, man, I can't eat another onion ring. Oh, I can't eat another anything. We stopped it for dinner last night about 7 o'clock, I guess. Well, we didn't stop. We went over to Sherry's, wherever that is, over here, back there somewhere. And I could not eat all my 2-egg omelet. I was still full from the onion rings at lunchtime. But they were all filled. And he said to the disciples, throw away the rest of the food. No, he said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered, and they filled 12 baskets. Think about it. They started off with 5 loaves of bread. I could easily carry that, well, a platter, and 2 small fish, and they had 12 baskets. And I think about that lad. I think of Levi. He's kind of, and I was thinking that they didn't want anything left that remained over and above what they'd eaten. And, that lad had just stopped in to see what the crowd was doing. But he happened to have what they needed at that time. And I use Levi because he's kind of the, when they were living down in South Beach, the kids, he was smaller. He would take off. Now, he wouldn't run away from home. They'd say, he saw a dog 4 blocks away, and he's over there petting that dog. Now, it was pretty safe where they're at, but he would just take off. And so I'm thinking that lad, I called him Levi, and in my text or my sermon, I'm calling Levi. So Levi takes off, or we'll say the lad takes off. His mother said, now, Levi, you go over to Uncle Harry's, and you get the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread, and you bring them back. So we can eat the bread. We can eat the fish. I don't know the whole story. We don't know that. See, there's many, it says in John, the end of John says, there's many other things that Jesus did that I suppose the world itself could not contain the books, should they be written. This is just a little synopsis. When we get to heaven, we can say, I'm waiting in line to see Jesus. And then we can find out about the rest of the story. But I'm thinking, so here comes Levi back. And, he could have been gone for a long period of time. The lad could have been gone a long period of time. He comes home. Where's the bread? Wait a minute, mom, don't yell at me. Where's the fish? Wait a minute. And the disciples, I don't know, somebody had to help the lad bring in the 12 baskets, and they brought it, thunk, thunk, thunk. And they said, how did this happen? Look, God used it not just to show the disciples what he was doing. His mother, the lad, and maybe he had a father too, I do not know, it doesn't say, but the lad's parents, all of a sudden, they had a lot of bread left over. They didn't have the fish. The fish were gone. But, maybe I'm sure it was actually 5,000 men plus the lad, plus the wives and children. You understand the story. Above that which they had eaten. And that verse 14, and those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is the truth, that a prophet should come into the world. You see, God was providing everything they needed. God will provide everything you need. God will provide me a vehicle when I need a vehicle. I've often thought years ago, many years ago, when I was going to turn 50, I thought, I think when I turn 50, I'm going to buy me a Harley Davidson. I don't ride a motorcycle. I would not get on with Bob and Lisa if they said, hey, you want to ride on our hogs? Well, they're not hogs. No, I think I'll drive my Mazda. It's a little safer. And, but when I turned 50, I decided that was not. I've told my wife, I said, maybe God wants me to have a new Corvette. No, he doesn't want me to have a Corvette that costs more than my house. But you never know. God will give you what you God's provision is unending. When they're filled, he said to the disciples, gather up that nothing would be lost. See little as much when God is in it. We learn that God delights in using people to do his work. Now, could God have, when I went to the Philippines and the other place I've gone, and, you know, it cost money to go and there's struggles and things, but could God have done it without me? You bet. But God wanted to use me. God wants to use you. He wants to use your kids. Now, I don't know what he wants, but God knows. And listen, you could be struggling right now saying, well, yeah, Lord, maybe it's salvation. Maybe you say, well, God, someday it's going to be over and you will not get a second chance. Our pastor on last Sunday, he did not know what to preach, so he preached on end times. It was probably one of the greatest sermons I have heard in years. It talked about the Great Tribulation, just some things he knew, and it was right down, not so much that I know, but it's right down what the Bible has to say from what I understand. And listen, we live in a free society. It's very simple to get saved today. It's going to be tough after the rapture. It's not going to be. There's going to be a delusion coming, and there's... Anyway, well, another story on that, another Bible, another on that. God's delight is to use ordinary people with ordinary gifts because he made so many of us. We're all ordinary, but we can be used for God. The 5,000 were satisfied with the Lord's provision as much as they would, and they filled up the baskets. That's the way it is with Jesus. In Colossians 2, 9 through 10, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." In Jesus Christ is complete satisfaction for all who commit their resources to him. Conclusion, by taking God's word by faith. Listen, I have never seen Jesus Christ, and you have not either. But we take it by faith, because it says without faith, it's impossible to see him. Faith is knowing God can and hoping he will. By unreserved obedience to God's will. Listen, God's will may be for you to serve him. You say, well, I can't. Well, you know, I thought that for years, and I can. You know, it may cost you something. It may cost you your life, but it may cost your life anyway. By enjoying God's abundant goodness. Like I say, when I met those people, I had never met them. I just talked to them over the phone on emails and such. Carl and all these guys came. I came from Oregon. Everybody else came from... like Tennessee or someplace. We met in Tokyo, and I got there about 2 hours early on my connecting flight. And I'm waiting there, and I'm sitting, it's going to be good, okay. And I met these guys, and there were like five or six guys that came in, and it was like I met my wife. It was just pure fellowship, just like I met you folks, because we had one thing in common. Now, we didn't know what anybody, their characteristics and their traits, but we had the fellowship of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it was a great time. In fact, one of the men set up another trip. That's why I went to, where I go to Puerto Rico to do that, and through other trips and Belize through BIMI and all the things. Listen, maybe God can use you to do something. Are you that lad now? Hopefully you're that lad now, and if you're not, maybe in the future you will be that lad, or maybe your kids will be that lad, or the parents will be that lad. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to work in their hearts this morning, and Father, to be somebody that I've said something from biblical that they could use. Father God, I pray you'll work in their hearts, and Father's as they make decisions, Father, there's an altar here, I believe, or Father, they're in the pew, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, we thank you for what you did for showing the disciples that they could do it, not through themselves, but that they could do it through you. And Father, I can only imagine that kid, whatever his name happens to be, that young lad, when he went home and told his family what had happened, what he had actually seen Jesus do, that Father, they did it for them. And Father, you do everything in our lives just to show us who you are. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our service. We ask you to work in our hearts, Father, as we have our lunch break and then into another service. We thank you for the church being here, Father God. We pray you'll bless them. Give us safety today as it's hot outside. And Father, we thank you for what you did for the lad, and we thank you for what you can do for us. And Father, I pray there's a lad here today, and we ask you to bless in Jesus' perfect, precious name. Amen.